Welcome back. In this section, I want to talk about self-care and boundaries. Let's start with boundaries. Boundaries are something that we often talk about, but sometimes don't fully understand what it means or know how to actually have them. Here's what Donna Fahey has to say about boundaries in her book, Teaching Yoga. For the process of transmutation to occur, healthy boundaries need to be established and sustained by both student and teacher. In the best possible sense, the teacher acts as a crucible for the student's process of transformation. By necessity, a crucible must be of a harder metal than the element that is being melted. The teacher acts to uphold a safe and sacred container in which the process can occur. In the same way that discipline limits in order to liberate, containment helps us to narrow our focus so we can gather and concentrate our energy toward a singular purpose and thus be more likely to succeed in our endeavor. Having clear boundaries is important both for creating a safe container for our students and for creating safety for ourselves. After teaching about mental health on various postgraduate yoga teacher training courses over the years, I've been constantly surprised by the lack of boundaries that yoga teachers in the courses have shown. When I've asked already practicing yoga teachers in these courses about the limitations of their support with a student experiencing mental health challenges, many students replied that they would go above and beyond for their students and that there would be no limit to what they would offer. This is the point in the training where I would always talk about scope of practice, and we're going to go into that very shortly. And I'd always pull out Donna Fahey's book, Teaching Yoga, and read the following section. The teacher's ability to establish and maintain a healthy boundary is crucial, not only for the teacher's welfare, but also for helping students establish their own healthy boundaries. In my discussions with close colleagues, I have learned that an inability to create, sustain, and if necessary, defend clear boundaries is a major cause of exhaustion, illness, and career burnout. Often teachers feel guilty that they have human limits, physical, emotional, and psychic limits. Many teachers find it hard to accept that their energy is limited and that they cannot give endlessly without consequence. A teacher may also have an unexamined belief that being spiritual is about boundless or boundaryless generosity. When a teacher cannot accept her own limits, she unconsciously creates a leaky boundary, which will be just as unconsciously perceived by students and will be challenged. Many of my teacher trainees have expressed that watching me model clear boundaries has given them permission to honor their own boundaries. This is the compassion that we can extend to ourselves and thereby to others. It's important both for our own well-being and for the well-being of our students that we maintain and model good boundaries. I've had the same feedback as Donna around this, that other people seeing me have clear boundaries has given them permission to assert their own clear and loving boundaries. I like Brené Brown's definition of boundaries. She says that boundaries are simply what's okay and what's not okay for me. I'm going to say that again because I think it's important. Boundaries are simply what's okay and what's not okay for me. As a reformed, chronic people pleaser, having clear boundaries really has been quite a challenging journey for me. What I found, though, from my own experience and from working with many counseling and coaching clients around this issue, is that when we have no boundaries or have leaky boundaries, people will be confused about what's okay and what's not okay for us, and will either intentionally or unintentionally cross our boundaries over and over again. Instead of feeling resentful and disenfranchised, which is what usually arises when people cross our boundaries, we need to take responsibility for clearly communicating our boundaries, even if it feels uncomfortable. I find the easiest way to have clear boundaries is just to be really upfront about them. Here's some examples. start and finish your classes on time. This demonstrates a respect of both your students, the studio, and your time as well. At the end of the class, consider letting your students know that you're going to be around for a few minutes after class if anyone has any questions or comments. This lets your students know that you're available, but only for a few minutes and not indefinitely. It's a boundary around your time and energy. If students are running late to a private session, be understanding of their reason and let them know up front that you'll still need to finish at the agreed time. If a student stays behind at the end of class and talks for longer than a few minutes, acknowledge that it sounds like they'd benefit from some extra support and, depending on the nature of the discussion, offer them a private yoga session to explore an individualized practice if this is within your scope of practice and something you'd like to do, of course. Or refer them to someone who can support them more deeply, like a psychologist or another therapist. This acknowledges both the importance of what the student is saying and the importance of respecting your time and expertise. Likewise, if a student calls or emails asking in-depth questions or wanting a longer discussion, suggest that they book a private session or refer them to somebody else, like a psychologist or another therapist. If a student asks for advice that's something beyond your scope of practice, refer them to somebody else. So for me, personally, I'm not trained as a physiotherapist or have particularly strong skills in anatomy and physiology. So if someone has a question about a muscle injury or a lower back pain, I would refer them to a specialist rather than attempt to answer their question myself. Have a clear cancellation policy. So this could be on your website and in all email correspondence that students receive when they book a class, a course, or a private session. If students ask about your cancellation policy, just let them know clearly without any guilt or discomfort. Consider having a separate email and a phone for your work and personal life, and turn off your work phone and don't check your work emails after hours, on weekends, or when you're on holiday or retreat. Instead of feeling pressured to reply to emails right away, for the past few years, I've had an autoresponder on my email that reads, "I'm practicing the art of radical self-care," which means that I don't always reply to my emails immediately. But hang in there, I will get back to you soon. This helps to manage people's expectations of my reply time. It allows me to take my time in replying rather than feeling stressed and resentful about having to reply immediately. And I've received so many responses from people letting me know that they were inspired by my autoresponder and wanted to use it themselves. And Uplift Connect even had me on their podcast to speak about it. So let's take a little closer look now at self-care, self-practice, and self-inquiry. These are all really important parts of being a mental health aware yoga teacher. So I'm only going to touch on these elements briefly, but that doesn't mean that they're not important. We could spend a whole lifetime on these, and I really hope that you do. Saraswati Vasudevan says that the state of the yoga teacher is 95% of the transmission of yoga, and knowledge is only 5%. So it's less about what we teach and more about how we show up when we teach. And so we need these three components of self-care, self-practice, and self-inquiry to be able to fully show up for our students. Let's look at self-care. For me, self-care means tuning into my needs on a moment-by-moment basis and being willing to meet them. It sounds simple, but living in this busy, overworked world that we live in, where self-care is often seen as selfish, it's not always easy, but it is so important for mental health. Self-care doesn't have to mean massages and manicures. It can mean going to bed early when you're tired. It could mean meditating each morning, spending time by yourself when you're feeling overwhelmed. spending time with friends when you feel like company, eating well, not working late in the evenings, getting support with your mental health when you need it. There's no prescription for self-care. Self-care is anything that feels nourishing and life-enhancing to you. An important part of self-care is having a regular practice of our own. Having our own practice is important for our own mental health, so we hold space for our students in a way that is really present, balanced, and nourishing. And so we can show up for our students authentically steeped in the teachings of yoga. The challenges you face with your own practice will help you to understand the challenges that your students face. I've heard so many times, and I've had the experience myself, that when we start teaching a lot, our own practice falls by the wayside. But teaching is not the same as self-practice. When we're teaching, we're holding space for our students. When we're practicing, we're holding space for ourselves. Having our own personal practice is important. There's no way around it. Self-inquiry. An important part of a personal practice is a practice of self-inquiry. This can be any lineage or method that you choose, but being willing to inquire compassionately and honestly into our own nature is, I believe, an essential part of being a mental health aware yoga teacher. My personal favorite way to do this is through iRest meditation, and I offer iRest courses both in person and online and private sessions for self-inquiry. I suggest that you make a habit of this in your life. In terms of self-inquiry into your role as a teacher, writing reflective journals about your teaching and having regular supervision and mentoring is a really great way to do this. Okay, so I hope this section on boundaries, self-care, self-practice, and self-inquiry has helped you to understand how vital these all are, both for our own mental health and for the mental health of our students. And while we've only spent a modest amount of time in them, don't fall into the trap of thinking that they're not important. They are essential. Thank you once again for joining me here.